Welcome to the Let's Get Sensory podcast. My name is Kelsey and I'm an occupational therapist, sensory specialist, and ADHDer. If you're looking to up-level you and your kids' lives by learning how to live a sensory lifestyle to help with attention, anxiety, hyperactivity, and impulsivity, then you've come to the right place. So here we go, let's get sensory. Hello, welcome back. It's your host, Kelsey. I am still on such a high from this weekend's workshop and talking with everyone afterwards the last couple of days. One of my all-time favorite things after a workshop is witnessing everybody's light bulb moment where everything just clicks, that moment where they learn and understand sensory trauma therapy. They understand the formula, what it's all about, and it's just like, wow, everything finally makes sense. Like my entire life, everything. And it brings me back to my light bulb moments in that moment where just everything changed for me. Because the best thing about it and what I love about this light bulb moment is like once you understand sensory trauma therapy, there's no going back. Like it really changes how you view everything, how you view life. And it is really the gift that keeps on giving. So if you're ready to take that leap, I promise it will change your nervous system forever. And I invite you to join Sensory Therapy Retreat, my monthly membership and sensory training experience. Inside the membership, you can catch this month's workshop replay, which was all about sensory therapy for kids. We have live workshops every month, and it is a step-by-step guided sensory trauma therapy healing program that will walk you through the transformation, the brain-altering lessons, like the lessons that you learn alone are so incredibly healing because it will completely change your mindset. It will change how you view everything. One of the hardest parts about living with a dysregulated nervous system, of course, knowing this firsthand, is not understanding what is happening inside of our minds and happening inside of our body, and that feeling just so out of control, that feeling of anxiety, which is why sensory trauma therapy is really so powerful because it makes sense to everything and makes sense to what you need in order to regulate our nervous systems, which is where all the nervous system tools inside the membership come in. You'll have access to healing guided sensory meditations, sensory exercises, sensory evaluations, trauma assessments, therapeutic workbooks. You'll have access to a huge sensory library and just nervous system tools library. And really, one of the problems that I see all the times these days is you hear about regulating your nervous system everywhere. Like it really is such a huge buzzword right now. But we forget that regulation is different for neurodivergence than it is for neurotypicals because our nervous systems work completely different. It takes a different approach because we have different sensory needs, different nervous system needs that often get left out of your neurotypical regulation approaches, which we are going to get into and talk about that more today, actually. So inside the Sensory Therapy Retreat membership, you'll be guided through the sensory process step by step, which I am so excited for this month now. Wow, it's August already. Live workshop inside the membership. We are having a 6-week nervous system makeover challenge, which you may remember from the last few podcasts. I've been planning it for a while now, and I'm so excited. I will be participating right alongside you all and so excited to have this 6-week reboot, this 6-week nervous system challenge to go back to whenever I feel that I just like I'm experiencing some burnout. I need that nervous system reboot. So the sensory therapy membership is for all neurodivergents who are looking for neurodivergent friendly support to heal their nervous systems and to heal your relationship with yourself. You'll leave the program feeling more self-love and more confidence than you ever thought was possible. And then this membership is also for my practitioners. So my therapists, my coaches, my teachers, anyone who works with neurodivergence, who wants to learn how to better serve their neurodivergent clients. And which I was shocked. I actually did a poll on my Instagram story this past week, and over 300 practitioners voted in the poll, and 87% of those 300 practitioners reported that they were also neurodivergent, like they were personally neurodivergent themselves, neurodivergent practitioners, which maybe it's just because I'm a neurodivergent practitioner, so I attract a similar vibe, which I love, but still to learn that there are so many of us that really got called to these fields, not only because we want to help people experiencing similar things that we have been through and struggled with as neurodivergents, but also to learn about ourselves. And like, I know I wanted to understand like what the heck was happening inside my brain and learn about mental health, because part of me, and I feel like I did this subconsciously going into this field, like thinking that it was because I wanted to help everybody, which is definitely a big part of it, but also that subconscious part of me, which just wanted to help myself and understand myself better. So 87% of practitioners are also neurodivergent. I was shocked to say the least, which honestly aligns perfectly with my personal approach and belief that I believe that trainings, like specifically therapy trainings, should involve testing it out on yourself and experiencing it yourself firsthand so you can really understand what that therapy approach is all about. And I really believe it helps to make us a much better therapist by having that lived experience, which is why my membership is also a sensory training certification, because it teaches you everything you need to know and it guides you through the entire process personally. Plus, sensory trauma therapy is really just beneficial for anyone with a nervous system, not just neurodivergents. So you can find all the details for the sensory therapy retreat membership in the show notes. But on a very similar note, this is actually a perfect transition into today's episode, Healing ADHD, which, as I predicted, triggered some people and also brought a whole lot of eye-opening and healing to others, to their ADHD mindset. And so because I had lots of questions, I wanted to answer some of these and dive deeper into that conversation today. But first, I want to address why I knew this would be triggering. And of course, my intention is to never trigger anyone, but because of what I do, unfortunately, there is no way around that. Just because my approach is different from what we've been taught for a long time. The thing is, ADHD has changed so much these past few years, like especially post-COVID, with telehealth skyrocketing and ADHD diagnosing becoming more and more accessible and more accurate. Like, it really wasn't that long ago that ADHD diagnoses, which they still are, but that's changing rapidly these days, but ADHD diagnoses were, you know, seen in majority boys, and ADHD was mostly studied in boys or male population. Like, ADHD as a whole has come a long way and is changing rapidly. But with that, just hearing these changes, hearing things that, you know, are different from what we've been taught for a long time, it can be triggering. And while, you know, we've made all these beautiful and amazing changes, and like more women are being diagnosed as they have expanded their definition and diagnostic criteria, and more accommodations are being provided now, and people are having this, you know, empowering awareness, and there's just more support becoming available, apps, therapies, ADHD coaches, ADHD products, like there's new things coming out for ADHD every day, which is amazing and makes me honestly so giddy to think about, like, what is the ADHD world gonna look like 5 years from now? Like, my hope is that sensory therapy is much more accessible and that there is a full-on movement, which obviously the sensory movement has already started, which is why you're here, but full-blown movement, or actually post-movement, where sensory is just normalized. Sensory therapy is normalized. Sensory is everywhere. They have it in schools around the world. Like, I just get excited thinking about it. But getting back to why my last episode was triggering is because it went against everything we've been taught and told about ADHD. And it is so natural for our responses to be resistance and to feel that resistance, even just hearing the words healing ADHD. Like, I felt that resistance too. I was triggered at first too. It goes against everything we were taught to be true. But the thing is when we are triggered, it's easy not to see the big picture and to not really hear what is being said. Kind of like whenever you're stressed out or you're heated and you're not thinking clearly during an argument or during just a stressful situation at work, And then once you're regulated and you're feeling more calm, you think back and you can see things more clearly and you're more ready to tackle whatever the situation is. And so honestly, the same goes for this topic, and just know that it's natural to feel that resistance that is expected, and know that it may take some time for it to settle, and that is totally natural if you feel triggered. So I invite you to just keep an open mind and to know that in order for things to change for the better, a lot of times that means doing things differently, which change can be scary, especially for us neurodivergents. Change can be so scary, but in order for things to change for the better, it's going to mean sometimes shaking things up, seeing things differently, doing things differently. Like the mistake that we make so many times is just doing the same thing over and over and over again, even though it's not working, because everybody else is doing it that way. So we keep on doing it the same way over and over and over again, not realizing that if we simply tried another way, tried a different mindset, that it would actually make it easier and that it would help us more. So this mindset change is one of those things. And so just to sum up the message of my last podcast of part one, it is that it's important to be aware that our negative associations, our negative outlook on ADHD is impacting our mind, our body, and our ADHD more than we realize. And science proves this, and there's a lot of research that supports this. What us ADHDers really need is to heal our ADHD mindset, and that by healing our ADHD mindset in return has these amazing positive benefits, which I'm going to talk about in this episode. So science shows us that the power of believing can be just as healing as traditional medicine, aka our mindset can literally heal our body on a physical and cellular level. And to explain the science behind this even more, when we are in that parasympathetic nervous system state, this is our healing state. This is where our body does a lot of its healing, its cell regeneration. It's kind of like, what is the first thing people say whenever you're sick? The first response is usually like, okay, you need to rest. And the reason they say this is because the parasympathetic nervous system state is an extremely healing state where our body literally heals itself. Like, just think about that for a moment, and that our body literally regenerates itself and heals itself, and how amazing that is. But the thing is, resting and getting into that parasympathetic nervous system state doesn't only happen when we are laying in bed or we're resting on a couch, because you can do both of those things and still be anxious while you're doing it, which means that you're actually in a sympathetic nervous system state, aka a fight or flight state, and not in a parasympathetic nervous system state. And so a huge piece of getting into that healing state is mindset, which I want to emphasize what I said in the last episode, part one, that this is not something that happens overnight. Inside my membership, that's a huge part of the program, is giving you the knowledge, the lessons, the tools, the guidance to help you heal your ADHD mindset, your overall general mindset. But the reason I share this with you is because I wanted to plant the seed. And by planting a seed, I know that doesn't mean it's going to bloom overnight and become this beautiful flower overnight. And just know that it is natural for it, one, to have that resistance, but just also remember that first, your seed is going to have to root. You're going to have to grow these strong roots, this strong foundation. You got to make it through some storms, and over time, your seed is going to just bloom more and more and more into a beautiful flower. You just got to keep watering it. But I knew that I needed to plant this seed and get this conversation started, something that we tiptoe around a lot of times. But there's a lot of us in this field that see the truth and are on board, and it's making all of the difference. And so remembering that the second important message and tip to get you started was about hope. That was the main message in my last podcast in part one. Healing your ADHD starts with healing your ADHD mindset, which means from going from that mindset where you feel hopeless to slowly adding more and more hope in. Hope being one of the most powerful medicines of all time. Again, like that power of belief, how that's been showed, that is fueled off the feeling of hope. We can water our seeds with hope in the form of listening to inspirational podcasts like my own. We can water a seed of hope through therapy. We can water a seed with hope in a lot of different ways, but it's important to remember every time you water your ADHD seed, your neurodivergent seed with hope, I want you to remember what is happening, what is actually happening inside your body, inside your nervous system. Every time you feel hopeful, you feel optimistic, what is happening is healing. More healing than you could ever imagine. Healing on that cellular level, healing your cells, healing your nerves, your senses, so much healing. And just to emphasize again, I did not heal my ADHD, nor would I really want to anymore. I have the most beautiful gifts thanks to my ADHD, and it is such a huge part of who I am, and that I've grown to deeply love that part of myself. I hated it for a long time. And so, of course, this is through that watering my own ADHD seed of hope, I've grown to deeply love that part of myself and my sensitivity. Through sensory therapy, I healed my ADHD by getting my control back, by getting my hope back. I have tools and resources lined up, so when hard things happen now, which they do, that didn't disappear, but when the hard things happen, I don't feel scared anymore. I don't feel out of control over my mind and my body because I know I have a sensory system that works, and I finally truly understand and accept those parts of myself. And I still feel sadness, but when I feel sadness, it's without the extreme anxiety and the fear. And I still feel anger. I'm human, I still feel anger, especially I'm an extra sensitive human, so I still feel anger and all these different emotions. But when I feel anger, it's without the extreme anxiety and it's without the fear. Instead, I feel that hope at the base of my anger. And so I still feel all the different emotions, especially because I have an extra sensitive nervous system, but with removing the anxiety and the fear has been so healing. And this is going to be triggering because I want you to know and remember, one, that it is natural to feel triggered hearing about this, especially for the first time, and really to give yourself grace and love if that triggering, that feeling triggered is arising for you right now. And I'm saying this to give you hope and to see what is possible for you. I was so depressed for majority of my life, for really in my entire childhood, entire young adult years. And I remember having feelings of depression as early as elementary school that really hit hard middle school and stay with me throughout high school and beginning of college. And I could go on and on all the things that I struggled with and experienced during my darkest years. In another episode, I'll save that for a different episode. But I was at your very rock bottom and had been dysregulated for my entire life. And for me to be here today now, every day I'm really just like, pinch me, like, how is this real? How is this possible? Which is just proof that healing is possible and I'm not the only one. So trigger warning, but I do feel like I healed my ADHD. Do I still have ADHD? Absolutely. Do I feel disordered by my ADHD? No, I do not. I feel in control and have an entirely different perspective. Do I still experience struggles? Absolutely every day, but it is so different now. It's a completely different ADHD experience because I have healed my ADHD mindset, which of course took time. Like, it is something that I say all the time, like, I live a sensory lifestyle where I'm doing the sensory exercises, I'm using these tools every day. I believe therapy is a lifelong thing, not necessarily something that you finish and then you're done, but I do feel like I have healed my ADHD mindset. I feel in control now. And throughout my struggles, I still feel hopeful at the end of the day, which is the most empowering feeling and the most regulating feeling. And it really is what I needed the most at the end of the day. Through healing my ADHD mindset and learning how to meet my sensory needs, it changed my life 180. I am saying all of this because I need you to know that there's hope, which might take a few more times of hearing it before it settles in and isn't triggering again, knowing that this is natural, that it is natural. That's a natural response, especially when you've been taught something as a society, and you've just been taught this belief like all the time, it's going to be natural for something different, some new belief to be triggering. And so I just want you to know that ADHD, anxiety, it's not something that we just need to suck it up and deal with. For a long time, that's really what I thought for most of my life. That's what I thought. I felt like, you know, life was just always going to be harder for me and I just needed to suck it up and deal with it. That is the opposite approach of what I really needed. And I didn't realize that that was doing me more harm than good. And this is something that I see all the time, and something that I did for so long is putting off getting help. We're getting accommodations, which is signs that we are stuck in that belief where we just need to suck it up. We just need to deal with it, which is rooted in that fact that we believe that we are not worthy of help. We are not worthy of hope. So we put off getting a diagnosis. We put off getting therapy. We put off getting work accommodations. We put off getting any kind of help, because a big part of that has to do again with the feeling like we just have to suck it up and we don't deserve help, AKA we don't deserve hope. So if I had to give one very, you know, first piece of advice of where to start with healing your ADHD mindset, AKA turning from an ADHD hopeless mindset to an ADHD hopeful mindset, in the first step to gaining more hope and watering our hope seed is by giving ourselves empathy, for really acknowledging our feelings and our emotions and our experiences. Because when we acknowledge our feelings and validate our feelings from a loving place instead of a judgmental place, it gives us hope. It gives us that hope medicine and helps us feel more hopeful, because that hope is rooted in self-love and rooted in love for ourselves, which of course this takes practice. And a lot of times for those of us, we need that co-regulation. We need that help. We need that assistance, someone to guide us through this process. We are really, and why we need this assistance is because for so long, we've been so quick to shame ourselves and to quote unquote shame ourselves whenever we make any mistakes, aka the forgetting, every time we forget something all day long, anytime it takes us longer to process something, anytime we are impulsive or do something impulsively, and it's just like this constant shaming ourselves all day long. And so we are so quick to judge ourselves. And we don't realize that we're doing it all day long because it becomes so second nature. It becomes so like we're doing it subconsciously without even, you know, being consciously aware of it. And so the first step to watering your hope seed is to consciously, very purposefully, give yourself so much empathy in this moment. However you're feeling right now, validate however you're feeling. Scream out at the top of your lungs if you're in the car, or next time you're alone in the car, like scream out, I am worthy, and just scream it at the top of your lungs, and tell me if you feel a little bit of that hope afterwards, if you can just get a glimpse, a glimmer of that feeling of hope, and just see how that hope feels, and just reflect on that feeling of hope, knowing that that hope is medicine to your body, and that it is more medicine, it is doing more healing on a cellular level every time we just feed that hope, that feeling of hope, just a little bit. And so I'll give you a second actually right now to yell it out. If you're in the car, wherever you are at home, just yell out, I am worthy. Top of your lungs, giving it everything in you. And just like knowing as you give everything in you and you scream at the top of your lungs, you are validating yourself next level, giving yourself all that validation. So I'm going to count down from 3, 2, 1. So what you did right there was a mini somatic release, something that is so important for especially those of us with big feelings, us deep feelers. So I hope you enjoyed that, and just pause this and just reflect on that feeling. Maybe do it again and just remember to keep on watering your ADHD hope seed day by day, little by little. Always when we go little by little, those baby steps is when a little becomes a lot. It adds up in a big way. And so please don't feel like you have to toughen it out. You have to suck it up and deal with it. You have to do it all on your own, because you are worthy of support. You are worthy of hope. You are a million times more worthy than you could ever imagine. Whether it is the sensory therapy membership or any form of help, guidance, and support, you are worthy, and we need it. Our neurodivergent souls, we need it. I stopped trying to do it all on my own. It was one of the best decisions I have ever made, and I'll never go back. And I'm always making sure that I always have ways to help me feel hopeful, you know, people, mentors, therapists to co-regulate off their energy and to help feed and water my hopefulness seed always. And so it's kind of like a plant. Like, it, once you get it from that seed into that flower, like, you got to keep watering it. You got to keep it alive. And so just finding those people, those mentors, those therapists to help see my blind spots and to help make it easy for me, because for so long I was stuck in that belief that it just had to be hard, that it was always going to be hard, and that I just had to suck it up. I did not have hope. I did not think it could ever be easy for me and that I deserved ease, which now I see how I need it and how every person with a sensitive nervous system deserves hope, deserves ease, someone to make it easy, to help us co-regulate, to help guide us. So I hope today brought you some more clarity and most of all, lots of hope. And I'm sending you all the love, all the hope, the good vibes, all the good energy your way. And I will be back next week for another hope-filled podcast. And I love you guys so much. I will see you all next week. Bye, everyone.